Introduction. This lecture provides a comprehensive examination of electrodermal activity, EDA, monitoring, an essential component of psychophysiological assessment and biofeedback. We begin with an overview of electrodermal hardware, which serves as the basis for acquiring accurate and meaningful data. Following this, we explore the principles behind exosomatic EDA measures and delve into the characteristics and proper application of electrodes, including placement strategies and the use of conductive gel. The discussion then turns to procedures for skin conductance, SC, recording, highlighting the distinctions between tonic and phasic responses, and continues with parallel treatments of skin resistance and skin potential. Key procedures for sensor placement and recording are presented, along with a detailed discussion of EDA signal properties and the function of electrodermographs. The second half of the lecture addresses practical concerns, including signal processing, measurement precautions, individual variability, and artifact sources such as drift, movement, and respiration. Additional sections discuss the interpretation of skin conductance patterns, the effects of drugs on EDA, and best practices for verifying equipment accuracy, including the use of dummy subjects and tracking tests. The lecture concludes with a presentation of normal values and a summary of practical takeaways relevant to cardiovascular and psychophysiological monitoring. These topics are unified by the overarching goal of enhancing data integrity, client insight, and treatment outcomes in biofeedback applications. Pieper, Schaefer, and Lin, 2010, recommended the following guidelines for ensuring accurate psychophysiological monitoring. 1. Understand the physiological mechanisms that generate the signal. 2. Always record and inspect the raw signal because this will allow you to identify artifacts. 3. Question whether the displayed values make sense. For example, skin conductance levels that rapidly fluctuate, exceed 40 microsiemens per centimeter squared, or fall below 1 microsiemen per centimeter squared should be suspect in a client who is sitting quietly. 4. Recognize the appearance of common artifacts and how they alter derived measurements. 5. Intentionally create artifacts to recognize them better. For example, rhythmically move the fingers attached to the sensor, loosen or tighten the sensors if secured with the Velcro finger straps, and review the raw signal and calculated skin conductance values. Electrodermal hardware. Electrodermal hardware is the foundation of accurate skin conductance biofeedback and psychophysiological assessment. This hardware typically includes sensors, signal amplifiers, analog-to-digital converters, and software for data display and interpretation. The system detects changes in electrical properties of the skin, which are modulated by Ehrlich's sweat gland activity, under the control of the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. This physiological link renders EDA a sensitive indicator of arousal, vigilance, and affective processes. The utility of the hardware, however, depends not merely on its engineering specifications, but on its appropriate deployment and the operator's skill. Correct usage requires the practitioner to inspect raw waveforms for anomalies such as signal drift, movement artifact, or implausibly high or low values. A reading that fluctuates rapidly while the subject remains still, or one that exceeds 40 microsiemens per square centimeter or drops below 1 microsiemens, should be considered suspect. Pieper and colleagues have advised intentionally creating artifacts to learn their visual signatures, such as moving the fingers under sensors or adjusting Velcro straps, to gain fluency in differentiating true physiological signals from contamination. These procedures are critical for both client assessment and therapeutic training. Developing a bulletproof routine for EDA monitoring includes checking all hardware connections, standardizing pre-session skin preparation, verifying software channel assignments, and logging electrode placement and gel use. Collectively, electrodermal hardware functions not as a black box, but as a transparent, testable system that reflects the physiological dialogue between the brain, body, and environment. Its correct use empowers clinicians to draw meaningful conclusions about stress, regulation, and emotional reactivity in both clinical and performance settings. Exosomatic EDA measures. Exosomatic EDA measurements rely on an externally applied voltage or current to quantify changes in the electrical properties of the skin, which are largely driven by Ehrlich's sweat gland activity. In psychophysiological applications, skin conductance and skin resistance are the primary exosomatic measures, preferred because they are sensitive to changes in sympathetic nervous system output. These methods are called exosomatic because the energy source, unlike in endosomatic recordings, comes from outside the body. In practice, a small constant voltage is passed through the skin via two electrodes, and the resulting current flow is measured. Skin conductance is the inverse of skin resistance, meaning that as sweat gland activity increases, conductance rises and resistance falls. This relationship exists because eccrine glands secrete fluid containing electrolytes, which improve the skin's electrical conductivity. Psychophysiologists generally favor skin conductance over skin resistance for three primary reasons. First, conductance more directly reflects the number of active sweat glands and their activity. Second, conductance values are more normally distributed than resistance, supporting robust statistical analysis. Third, the directional relationship between arousal and conductance increase is more intuitive than interpreting a decrease in resistance. It is essential to note that skin conductance does not directly measure sweat gland output, but rather infers activity by measuring the skin's electrical properties. This indirectness introduces the possibility of artifact and demands careful attention to signal fidelity. The presence or absence of gel, skin hydration, and environmental conditions can all influence the measurement. Therefore, accurate exosomatic recordings depend on the standardization of electrode materials, placement sites, and pre-session procedures to ensure valid comparisons across sessions and subjects. Electrodes. Electrodes used for electrodermal recording are engineered to facilitate the accurate detection of subtle changes in skin conductivity or resistance. These sensors must maintain a stable interface with the skin while minimizing impedance and preventing polarization. Polarization occurs when an electrode accumulates electrical charge, which distorts readings over time. To avoid this, manufacturers construct non-polarizing electrodes by coating conductive metals with their respective salts, such as silver with silver chloride or zinc with zinc sulfate, creating a reversible chemical reaction at the electrode interface that stabilizes the potential. Electrode shape and size are equally important. A larger recording surface distributes current across more sweat glands, which lowers resistance and reduces localized irritation. For palmar and plantar sites, electrodes typically range in diameter from 1.5 to 2 centimeters, while finger electrodes used in straps are generally about 1 centimeter in diameter. Larger recording surfaces increase conductance and resistance values. However, electrode surface area does not affect skin potential. Electrodes should be selected and applied consistently across sessions and participants to control for variability in recorded values. Deviations in size or material composition can lead to non-comparable data. Another important factor is the mechanical stability of the contact area. Electrodes must remain affixed with sufficient pressure to ensure good electrical contact without restricting circulation. Changes in skin electrode pressure due to movement or improper placement can result in transient spikes or drops in the signal, which may be misinterpreted as genuine physiological events. Electrodes should be cleaned and replaced regularly to prevent degradation and contamination. Finger strap electrodes, pre-gelled disposable types, and reusable cup electrodes each have distinct use cases and maintenance requirements. Ultimately, the electrode is the first point of interface between physiology and data collection. Its characteristics and application technique determine whether the signal recorded represents authentic biological activity or is confounded by artifact and noise. Electrode placement. Electrode placement for EDA monitoring must be performed with precision and consistency to ensure the collection of reliable and interpretable data. The most common sites for skin conductance measurement are the fingers, specifically the intermediate phalanges of the index and ring fingers, or the middle finger. This location strikes a balance between sensitivity, accessibility, and stability. The medial aspect of the finger pad features a high density of eccrine sweat glands and a flat surface, providing stable contact. Placement should avoid the distal phalanges, which are slightly more reactive but more prone to sensor dislodgement due to movement or contact. Clinicians typically affix electrodes using Velcro straps, elastic bands, or surgical tape. The contact pressure must be firm enough to prevent displacement while allowing blood flow. Excessive tightness can cause throbbing, discoloration, or signal distortion. A helpful technique is to orient the electrode cables inward toward the palm and secure them to the client's clothing with tape, minimizing strain on the wire and reducing movement artifacts. When using two-finger sensors, it is advisable to skip a digit to avoid physical interference between sensors and to reduce electrical crosstalk. The index and ring fingers, for example, are commonly selected. However, the index and middle finger combination also offers anatomical advantages due to their shared innervation by the median nerve dermatome. Palm replacements offer an alternative when finger values fall below 1.5 microsiemens per square centimeter. However, these placements are more sensitive to motion and less practical for tasks involving hand use. The decision on where to place electrodes must also consider the nature of the biofeedback task and the client's comfort. Documentation of the placement strategy is crucial for longitudinal assessment and within-subject comparisons. Inconsistent placement may lead to erroneous conclusions about autonomic regulation or treatment progress. Electrode gel. Electrode gel plays a crucial role in enhancing the quality of electrodermal recordings by improving the electrical interface between the electrode and the skin. When the natural moisture of the skin is insufficient to support adequate conductance, particularly in individuals with dry skin or calluses, applying conductive gel ensures more stable and interpretable signals. The gel serves to lower skin electrode impedance, minimize signal noise, and reduce the potential for signal dropout or spurious fluctuations. However, not all gels are created equal. The gel must contain a physiologic saline concentration, ideally no greater than 0.5 molar sodium chloride, to maintain the integrity of the measurement. Exceeding this concentration can result in distorted or artificially elevated readings. Commercially available EEG or ECG gels often contain higher concentrations of saline and are unsuitable for precise EDA recording. A recommended formulation includes uni-base paste mixed with a 3% saline solution, which produces the desired ionic strength. The application of gel should be consistent across sessions and clients to preserve the comparability of values. Inconsistencies in gel use can introduce session-to-session variability that mimics physiological changes. Gel should be applied sparingly and evenly to prevent bridging across electrodes and to avoid interfering with the sensor's physical adhesion. In clinical settings, the decision to use gel should be guided by baseline SCL values, skin condition, and client comfort. If gel is introduced in a session to raise low conductance values, it should be documented and repeated in all future sessions for that client. Improper or inconsistent gel use can render a session's data uninterpretable, thereby compromising the validity of the assessment and the accuracy of treatment feedback. SC recording. Skin conductance, SC, recording is a dynamic process that requires standardization, technical accuracy, and environmental control to ensure meaningful results. The standard recording sites are the palmar surface of the hand and the plantar surface of the foot, given their dense distribution of Ehrlich sweat glands, which is approximately 1,000 per square centimeter. The intermediate phalanges of the fingers offer an optimal balance of signal stability and sensitivity and are typically chosen for their anatomical convenience. Clinicians must ensure that the skin surface is clean before recording. Washing hands with soap and water can remove surface salts that influence conductance, although it may transiently lower the skin conductance level, SCL. This effect must be accounted for by waiting several minutes after washing before starting the session or standardizing hand washing procedures for all sessions. Electrode placement should follow a bipolar configuration unless skin potential is also being measured, in which case a monopolar setup may be required. Pressure applied by Velcro straps or adhesive collars must be even and secure, preventing movement while avoiding vascular compression. In individuals with persistently low SC values, conductive gel may be used, provided it is applied consistently and uniformly. A critical aspect of SC recording is avoiding abrasion. Unlike skin potential recordings, which sometimes require removal of the epidermal layer to reduce resistance, SC recordings should always be performed on intact, unabraded skin to maintain physiological relevance. External environmental factors, such as room temperature and humidity, can influence sweat gland activity and must be regulated. SC recording should begin only after confirming electrode integrity, verifying skin preparation, and checking for signal stability in the raw trace. These practices allow clinicians to confidently interpret data and use it for real-time biofeedback or psychophysiological profiling. Tonic and phasic measurements. Electrodermal activity consists of two major signal components, tonic and phasic, each reflecting distinct but related dimensions of sympathetic nervous system activity. The tonic component, known as the skin conductance level, SCL, represents the baseline level of arousal over extended periods. It is influenced by overall sympathetic tone, thermoregulation, and contextual factors such as cognitive load or emotional state. Phasic components are rapid, transient changes in conductance, known as skin conductance responses, SCRs, which occur in response to discrete internal or external stimuli. SCRs are further classified into nonspecific NSCRS and event-related ERSCRS. NSCRS occurs spontaneously without identifiable triggers, typically at a rate of 1 to 3 per minute in resting conditions. They reflect fluctuations in vigilance or affective state and can be amplified by stress or anxiety. ERSCRS are elicited by novel, unexpected, or emotionally salient stimuli and are defined by a rise in conductance of at least 0.1 microsiemens within 1 to 3 seconds after stimulus presentation. Each SCR can be characterized by multiple parameters: latency, the onset delay after stimulus, rise time, the interval from onset to peak, amplitude, the peak minus baseline, magnitude, the mean response across all trials, and half recovery time, the time to return to 50% of the peak. These parameters offer nuanced insights into autonomic reactivity, particularly when employed in structured tasks or stimulus presentations. Phasic responses that fail to return to baseline may indicate persistent cognitive or emotional engagement, unresolved affect, or sustained vigilance. Tonic and phasic EDA measures are typically plotted together in biofeedback software, allowing clinicians to correlate client experience with specific signal features. Understanding the temporal and morphological characteristics of these waveforms is crucial for accurate clinical interpretation and effective training. Skin resistance. Skin resistance, the reciprocal of skin conductance, provides an alternative measure of electrodermal activity and is quantified in ohms or kilohms per square centimeter. Although less commonly used in contemporary psychophysiology, skin resistance retains historical and technical relevance, particularly in certain clinical and research contexts. The measurement setup is similar to that used for skin conductance. Two electrodes are placed on the skin surface, and a small external current is applied. As eccrine sweat gland activity increases, skin resistance decreases due to the electrolyte-rich sweat lowering the skin's impedance. The tonic component of resistance is referred to as the skin resistance level, SRL, which typically ranges from 500 to 10,000 ohms per square centimeter in healthy individuals. The phasic component is the skin resistance response, SRR, which refers to short-lived decreases in resistance following stimulation. An SRR is operationally defined as a drop in resistance of at least 0.1% from baseline, typically occurring within 1 to 3 seconds of a stimulus. Unlike skin conductance, where increases are interpreted as heightened arousal, decreases in resistance must be interpreted in the opposite direction. This directional difference complicates intuitive understanding and partly explains the preference for conductance-based measures. Nevertheless, resistance recordings can still yield valid psychophysiological insights when standardized properly. As with conductance, the quality of resistance data depends on electrode surface area, placement stability, and consistent skin preparation. Because resistance values can span a wide range and may be influenced by environmental conditions, signal normalization and within-subject comparisons are essential. Phasic resistance responses can help delineate individual differences in reactivity, particularly in cases where SCRs may be absent or ambiguous. Proper interpretation requires familiarity with baseline variability, expected response ranges, and artifact sources that could mimic physiological resistance shifts. Skin potential. Skin potential, SP, is a less commonly used but physiologically rich measure of electrodermal activity that reflects the voltage difference between the skin surface and underlying tissues. Unlike skin conductance and skin resistance, which are exosomatic measures dependent on an externally applied current, SP is measured endosomatically. This means that the electrical signal originates from within the body, generated by the electrochemical activity of sweat glands and their interaction with deeper dermal structures. SP is particularly useful for distinguishing between orienting and alarm responses and may offer insights into slower, sustained changes in arousal states that are less readily captured by conductance or resistance. However, SP recordings are technically more complex and susceptible to artifacts due to the inclusion of a direct current, DC, component, which is sensitive to drift and electrode polarization. Typical SP values range from positive 10 to negative 70 millivolts when referenced against an inactive site, such as the forearm. The tonic component is referred to as the skin potential level, SPL, and the phasic component is known as the skin potential response, SPR. SPRs may include a negative deflection of up to 2 millivolts and a positive limb as high as 4 millivolts, although values vary based on recording conditions and individual physiology. SP is not influenced by electrode surface area in the same way as conductance or resistance measures, which can be advantageous for certain applications. Nevertheless, SP measurement requires high-quality electrodes, conductive gel, and meticulous skin preparation to minimize signal drift. The interpretive richness of SP makes it valuable for research exploring the nuances of autonomic function. However, its practical demands and sensitivity to artifacts have limited its widespread clinical adoption. Sensor placement. Sensor placement for skin potential measurement differs from that used in skin conductance and resistance recordings. Because SP is a monopolar measure, it requires the placement of one electrode over an active recording site, such as the palmar surface of the hand, and a second reference electrode over a relatively inactive site, such as the forearm. This spatial separation is necessary to capture the voltage difference between the more electroactive region and a stable baseline. When recording SP, clinicians must be cautious to avoid placing the reference electrode over areas with high eccrine sweat gland density, as this would compromise signal stability. The preferred configuration aligns with physiological gradients in sweat gland activity and minimizes the contribution of extraneous electrical noise. In cases where power line interference, for example, a 50 or 60 Hz artifact, is present, an additional reference electrode on the same arm may be used to cancel out environmental electrical noise through common mode rejection. Unlike bipolar SC recordings, monopolar SP configurations demand greater attention to the directionality and polarity of the recorded signal. Electrode orientation and lead configuration must be standardized to ensure replicability across sessions. As with all EDA recordings, placement should prioritize skin contact stability, minimal movement, and client comfort. Electrodes should be affixed using hypoallergenic adhesive collars or medical tape, and cables should be secured to the body to prevent motion-induced artifacts. Because SP signals are small and susceptible to drift, the quality of placement has a direct impact on interpretability. Consistency in placement not only supports signal fidelity, but also enables valid within-subject and across-session comparisons, which are essential for tracking physiological patterns over time. Recording procedure. The procedure for recording skin potential, SP, requires heightened attention to electrode preparation, signal stability, and drift minimization compared to skin conductance or resistance. Conductive gel is essential for SP recordings due to the low voltage nature of the signal and the need for stable, low impedance contact. Unlike SC or SR, which can often be measured with dry electrodes, SP requires a moist, electrically conductive interface to reduce contact resistance and suppress movement-induced noise. The skin should be cleaned with a mild abrasive paste at the inactive site to remove surface oils and dead cells, improving the consistency of electrode contact. During the session, it is essential to maintain a bias voltage of less than 1 millivolt between the active and reference electrodes. This prevents electrode polarization and avoids confusion between slow signal drift and true physiological changes. To check for baseline bias, electrodes can be immersed in a saline solution before and after recording, allowing the user to measure and document any potential offset. The entire electrode skin interface must remain undisturbed throughout data collection, as even minor movement can result in large DC shifts. Patients should be seated in a relaxed, stable posture, and cables should be taped down to prevent them from pulling or dragging. Environmental factors, such as room temperature, lighting, and electromagnetic fields, should be controlled to prevent signal contamination. Session startup should include a minimum 5-minute baseline period to allow SP signals to stabilize. All procedures, including electrode site, gel type, and cable routing, must be documented for replication in future sessions. Rigorous adherence to this protocol ensures that recorded SP data reflect true physiological states rather than artifacts. Signal properties. The signal properties of electrodermal measures are defined by both their physiological origins and the characteristics of the recording equipment. Foreskin potential responses, SPRs. Latency typically ranges from 1 to 3 seconds following a stimulus, consistent with skin conductance responses, SCRs, and skin resistance responses, SRRs. This latency represents the time required for sympathetic nervous system activation to lead to depolarization of sweat glands and fluid excretion. The signal may manifest as a single-phase deflection or a biphasic response, characterized by a negative and positive limb, depending on individual physiology and stimulus properties. Amplitude is determined by the magnitude of the voltage difference induced by sweat between the active and reference electrodes, which can vary significantly between individuals. Rise time, the duration from onset to peak, and half recovery time, the time from peak to 50% return, are critical for characterizing the waveform's dynamics. These parameters allow differentiation between rapid orienting responses and prolonged alarm states. SP signals are particularly susceptible to slow drift, which can result from electrode polarization, sweat accumulation, or environmental factors. Therefore, proper filtering and baseline correction are essential for signal interpretation. Low-pass filters set at approximately 2.5 Hz can help attenuate high-frequency noise, such as muscle artifact or line interference. However, they must be applied judiciously to avoid distorting the slow-changing SP signal. Artifacts caused by movement, respiration, or skin electrode instability often exhibit sharp, non-physiological transitions or stair-step patterns that can be readily distinguished from authentic spontaneous potential, SP, fluctuations. The ability to interpret these signals in context requires clinical experience and a robust understanding of the physiological mechanisms underlying electrodermal activity. The electrodermograph. An electrodermograph is a specialized device used to amplify, digitize, and display the electrical signals measured from the skin's surface. These systems convert subtle changes in skin conductance, resistance, or potential into digital waveforms for real-time analysis and interpretation. The core of the device includes operational amplifiers that boost the signal to a usable voltage level. For skin conductance and resistance, the amplifier converts current into a proportional DC voltage. For skin potential, a DC amplifier is employed directly due to the voltage-based nature of the signal. These amplifiers must maintain high input impedance to avoid loading the signal and ensure accurate transduction. Once amplified, the signal passes through filters that suppress unwanted components, such as high-frequency line noise or low-frequency drift, while preserving the integrity of the electrodermal waveform. The filtered signal is then digitized by an analog-to-digital converter and sent to a software platform for visualization and storage. Most modern electrodermographs are integrated into multimodal biofeedback systems that also monitor temperature, respiration, and electromyographic signals. Increasingly, electrodermographs are available as mobile or wearable devices that can be paired with smartphones or tablets, offering flexibility for field research and home-based training. These mobile platforms, however, require rigorous validation against laboratory-grade systems to ensure the quality of the data. Regardless of format, the electrodermograph's accuracy hinges on the quality of electrodes, the stability of sensor placement, and the appropriateness of signal processing settings. Calibration against known resistance values using a dummy subject circuit is critical for verifying device performance. Ultimately, the electrodermograph serves as the intermediary between human physiology and therapeutic insight, translating unconscious processes into measurable and modifiable signals. Signal processing. Signal processing in electrodermal monitoring transforms raw physiological signals into interpretable data by amplifying, filtering, and digitizing them. This process begins with analog amplification, using either an operational amplifier for current-based measures, such as skin conductance, or a direct current, DC, amplifier for voltage-based measures, such as skin potential. The goal is to increase the signal amplitude to a voltage range suitable for analog-to-digital conversion while preserving its waveform characteristics. Once amplified, the signal is passed through analog filters that shape the frequency content. For skin conductance and resistance, a low-pass filter, typically set at 2.5 Hz, removes high-frequency noise, such as power line interference and electromyographic artifacts. For skin potential, which contains slower-changing DC components, careful filtering is critical to avoid erasing physiologically meaningful drift. Bandpass filters can also be used to reject both high-frequency and low-frequency noise, thereby enhancing the signal-to-noise ratio. Following filtering, the signal is sampled by an analog-to-digital converter, which assigns a numeric value to the voltage at each time point, typically at rates ranging from 10 to 100 samples per second. These data points are then displayed in real-time by biofeedback software, which may also calculate derivatives such as SCR frequency, amplitude, and recovery time. Modern systems often include artifact detection algorithms, but visual inspection remains the gold standard. Software should also allow for baseline correction, signal scaling, and annotation of stimulus events. Advanced platforms may include spectral analysis or nonlinear metrics for research applications. Signal processing settings must be configured with care, as inappropriate filter parameters or sample rates can distort the waveform or miss transient responses. A clear understanding of these principles enables clinicians to distinguish between meaningful physiological reactivity and artifacts and noise, thereby improving diagnostic precision and training outcomes. Measurement precautions. Several measurement precautions must be taken to ensure that electrodermal data accurately reflect autonomic activity, rather than being confounded by other factors. First, the measurement environment must be controlled for temperature, humidity, and electromagnetic interference, all of which can affect skin conductance. A consistent room temperature supports reliable comparisons across sessions, as cooler environments may suppress sweat gland activity, while excessive heat may induce thermoregulatory sweating unrelated to psychological arousal. The subject's posture, level of activity, and hand position should be standardized, with sensors typically placed on the non-dominant hand to reduce motion artifact. Before each session, the skin should be inspected for abrasions, calluses, or excessive dryness, as these conditions can distort conductance readings. Clients should be asked to remove lotions or oils and wash their hands with non-moisturizing soap to standardize skin condition. A minimum 5-minute acclimation period is advised before beginning data collection to allow the skin to stabilize after preparation. Electrode contact must be monitored throughout the session. If a sensor becomes loose, sudden shifts or erratic waveforms will appear in the raw data, and the session may need to be repeated. If conductive gel is introduced, its use should remain consistent across all sessions to avoid artificial changes in baseline values. Artifact testing, including gentle cable tugs or mock stressors like clapping, should be employed before training begins to verify signal integrity. Finally, the client must be instructed to minimize movement and maintain a quiet, relaxed state during resting baselines. Failing to observe these precautions can lead to erroneous conclusions about the client's arousal level, misinterpretation of treatment effects, or the implementation of ineffective interventions. Individual differences. Individual physiological and demographic characteristics can substantially influence electrodermal activity, necessitating careful interpretation of raw values and responses. Age is one such factor. Children typically exhibit higher skin conductance levels and greater SCR amplitude due to their higher sweat gland density and responsiveness. In contrast, Older adults often show lower conductance values and slower recovery times, partially due to gland atrophy or reduced sympathetic tone. Skin conditions, including hydration levels and callus formation, also affect measurement. For instance, individuals with naturally dry or thickened skin, such as manual laborers, may present with consistently low baseline conductance. Ethnic and racial differences have been documented, although findings vary and should be interpreted with caution. Some studies report group-level differences in baseline SCL or SCR frequency that may be related to skin morphology or glandular distribution. Another critical variable is autonomic lability, the tendency for rapid fluctuations in arousal in response to minimal stimulation. Highly labile individuals may generate frequent NSSCRS and demonstrate increased SCR magnitude in response to mild stimuli, while more stable individuals may exhibit flatter profiles. Hormonal factors also contribute, with women displaying cycle-dependent changes in electrodermal responsiveness, particularly during the luteal phase. Psychological traits, including anxiety sensitivity, vigilance, and emotional suppression, can influence both tonic and phasic measures. These individual differences underscore the importance of within-subject comparisons over time, rather than reliance on absolute values or across-subject benchmarks. Clinicians must contextualize electrodermal readings within a broader psychophysiological profile, integrating behavioral observation, self-report, and task performance. Failure to account for these differences may result in inaccurate diagnosis, inappropriate biofeedback goals, or misattribution of treatment effects. Loose electrodes. Loose electrodes present a significant source of artifact in electrodermal recordings, which can severely compromise the accuracy and reliability of the data. When an electrode loses full contact with the skin, either due to inadequate fastening or client movement, the signal may exhibit abrupt jumps, sharp drops, or erratic fluctuations that mimic or mask true skin conductance responses, SCRs. These signal changes typically occur too rapidly to reflect physiological responses and often appear as sharp, vertical lines or stair-step patterns on the raw waveform. Clinicians can identify this issue in real time by gently tugging on each electrode wire while monitoring the screen. Any corresponding signal distortion indicates insufficient contact or mechanical instability. The use of high-quality adhesive collars, elastic bands, or properly tensioned Velcro straps is essential to maintaining electrode stability. Electrodes should be applied with enough pressure to ensure consistent contact, but not so tightly as to restrict circulation or cause discomfort. The application site must be clean and dry, as sweat or lotion residues can degrade adhesion and contribute to slippage. Sensor cables should be taped to the client's clothing to reduce movement transmission from cable drag. In cases where a loose electrode is suspected during a session, clinicians should stop the recording, reapply, or replace the electrode, and allow time for signal stabilization before resuming. Documentation of any such interruptions is critical for data interpretation. Loose electrodes not only disrupt data quality, but can also erode client confidence in the equipment and training process, highlighting the importance of meticulous sensor application and continuous monitoring throughout each session. Drift. Drift in electrodermal recordings refers to the slow, progressive upward or downward movement of the baseline signal that is unrelated to true physiological changes. This phenomenon can arise from multiple sources, including electrode polarization, sweat accumulation under the sensor, changes in skin hydration, or thermal shifts at the recording site. In the context of skin potential recordings, drift may be especially pronounced due to the DC nature of the signal, making it difficult to distinguish from slow autonomic processes. Drift can also occur in skin conductance recordings, especially when using adhesive electrodes that trap moisture and heat. Throughout a long recording session, such drift can mislead the clinician into interpreting gradual baseline shifts as meaningful changes in arousal or relaxation. One common mitigation strategy involves using fresh silver chloride electrodes, which are less prone to polarization. Replacing pre-gelled or adhesive sensors with fingerband electrodes can also reduce the accumulation of sweat beneath the electrode, allowing for better air circulation. Encouraging the client to keep their hand relaxed and slightly open can prevent the skin from overheating and minimize thermally induced drift. Some systems apply a bandpass filter to remove frequencies below 0.05 Hz, but such filtering must be applied cautiously to avoid erasing legitimate low-frequency components. Baseline drift should be clearly distinguished from genuine SCL changes by examining the signal in the context of task structure, client behavior, and known artifact triggers. Clinicians should annotate suspected drift during data collection and adjust their interpretation of session outcomes accordingly. Sensor interference. Sensor interference occurs when two or more electrodermal sensors placed on the same individual interact electrically, distorting the signal in a manner that compromises the accuracy of the measurement. This issue is most commonly observed when clinicians attempt to collect bilateral skin conductance data, such as recording from both hands simultaneously, to assess hemispheric asymmetries or compare sympathetic activation across limbs. If the sensors are placed too closely together or if their electrical fields overlap, mutual capacitance or inductive coupling may produce interference patterns. These often manifest as stair-step distortions, erratic fluctuations, or simultaneous artifacts in both channels, none of which correspond to authentic physiological events. Interference can also result from improper grounding or faulty shielding in sensor cables, especially in environments with high ambient electromagnetic activity. Although placing sensors on different limbs generally avoids this problem, any deviation from standard sensor layout must be undertaken with careful attention to signal integrity. To prevent sensor interference, practitioners should maintain a minimum physical distance between electrode pairs, use shielded cables, and verify that each channel is properly isolated in the amplifier configuration. Additionally, sensor leads should not cross or run parallel for extended lengths, as this can facilitate electromagnetic coupling. Before initiating a recording, a short calibration test or tracking procedure, such as a deep sigh or a hand clap, can be used to verify the independent operation of the signal. Any unexpected mirroring of signals between channels should prompt reevaluation of the sensor configuration. Sensor interference introduces ambiguity into the data, undermines confidence in the recording system, and may lead to erroneous clinical interpretations if not identified and corrected promptly. Movement. Movement artifact is a prevalent and often unavoidable source of contamination in electrodermal recordings, particularly in skin conductance measures obtained from the fingers. Even minor finger or hand motion can alter the contact pressure between the electrode and the skin, introducing sudden shifts in resistance or conductance that mimic or obscure genuine SCRs. These artifacts typically present as sharp transients or step changes in the raw signal and can be difficult to distinguish from legitimate responses without close inspection. Activities such as repositioning, typing, fidgeting, or even adjusting posture can trigger such distortions. While recessed metal electrodes prepared with conductive gel are somewhat more resistant to motion artifacts, no sensor configuration is completely immune to them. To minimize movement-related noise, clinicians should instruct clients to remain as still as possible during recording, especially during baseline and stimulus periods. Sensor cables should be taped to the client's clothing to provide strain relief and prevent tugging on the electrode-skin interface. Positioning the sensors on the non-dominant hand may reduce involuntary motion during tasks. During data review, clinicians should look for temporal correlation between observed artifacts and client movements or task transitions, which can help differentiate artifacts from true physiological responses. Biofeedback software with synchronized video recording can help confirm the source of suspect signal features. Ultimately, reducing movement artifact relies on a combination of sound hardware practices, careful session planning, and client education. In protocols where movement cannot be eliminated, such as exposure tasks or functional assessments, clinicians must interpret electrodermal data with greater caution and rely on contextual cues and waveform morphology to validate findings. Skin condition. Skin condition has a profound impact on the reliability and interpretability of electrodermal signals. Variations in skin hydration, thickness, cleanliness, and integrity all influence baseline conductance levels and reactivity. Calloused areas, common among individuals who engage in manual labor or sports, possess a thicker stratum corneum, which increases electrical resistance and lowers the skin's color, SEL. Conversely, abraded or damaged skin may artificially elevate conductance due to compromised epidermal barrier function. Even small abrasions can expose dermal layers with higher ionic content, yielding misleadingly high conductance values. Therefore, it is essential to inspect the skin before sensor application and avoid recording from compromised or highly keratinized areas. Clients should be asked to wash their hands with mild soap and water before electrode placement, but not immediately before the session, as this can temporarily lower the skin conductance level, SEL, by removing surface salts. Over time, the skin may reaccumulate electrolytes, resulting in a gradual upward drift of the signal. The application of lotions, oils, or sanitizers should be avoided entirely, as these substances form a film that can disrupt electrode contact and alter conductivity. Inconsistent skin preparation across sessions is a leading cause of variability in longitudinal biofeedback data and can obscure true physiological trends. Clinicians must document any deviations from standard skin preparation procedures and note changes in skin condition that may affect interpretation. In cases where calluses are unavoidable, such as with athletes or construction workers, clinicians may consider alternative electrode sites, such as the palmar surface, or use of conductive gel to reduce impedance. Addressing skin conditions proactively improves data quality, supports accurate diagnosis, and enhances the efficacy of biofeedback training. Hand temperature. Hand temperature is a key physiological variable that modulates electrodermal activity and should be closely monitored during biofeedback sessions. The temperature of the skin directly influences the activation threshold of Ehrlich sweat glands. In cooler conditions, sympathetic activity may be insufficient to trigger glandular activity, resulting in unusually low skin conductance levels. Conversely, elevated hand temperature may increase baseline SEL by promoting thermoregulatory sweating independent of psychological arousal. Environmental temperature, client posture, recent physical activity, and stress levels all contribute to peripheral skin temperature. A room that is too warm can exacerbate this effect, while overly cold conditions can suppress autonomic responses and delay recovery following SCRs. Clinicians should maintain a room temperature within a narrow range, typically around 22 to 24 degrees Celsius, and ensure that clients are comfortably clothed and seated in a relaxed posture. If a client's hands are notably cold at the start of a session, allowing several minutes for acclimation or administering a brief warming procedure, such as immersing hands in warm water, may improve recording conditions. Real-time monitoring of hand temperature with an infrared thermometer or thermistor can provide valuable context for interpreting electrodermal data. For example, a sudden increase in SCL, accompanied by a rising temperature, may indicate a physiological stress response. In contrast, a stable SCL with falling temperature may reflect vascular constriction rather than true autonomic withdrawal. Interpreting electrodermal signals without considering concurrent temperature data risks misclassification of client arousal states and may lead to incorrect treatment adjustments. Therefore, integrating thermal assessment into the EDA recording protocol enhances the accuracy and robustness of psychophysiological monitoring. Respiration pattern. Respiration patterns exert a subtle yet significant influence on electrodermal activity, often acting as hidden modulators of both tonic and phasic responses. Rapid, shallow breathing, particularly thoracic breathing, tends to elevate sympathetic tone and is frequently associated with increased systolic blood pressure, SCL, and more frequent nonsteroidal skin color reactions, NSSCRS. Sighing, which is a common physiological reset mechanism, can provoke transient SCRs due to the associated changes in intrathoracic pressure and autonomic activation. Individuals who engage in habitual shallow breathing may display elevated baseline conductance even in the absence of external stressors, potentially confounding assessment of emotional or cognitive reactivity. Conversely, slow, diaphragmatic breathing can reduce sympathetic output and may dampen SCR amplitude and frequency, especially during relaxation or mindfulness exercises. These effects underscore the importance of monitoring respiration during biofeedback sessions, particularly when EDA is used to assess stress reactivity or emotional processing. Ideally, respiration should be recorded simultaneously with electrodermal activity using a strain gauge, respiratory belt, or capnograph, allowing clinicians to parse out respiration-related SCRs from those evoked by other stimuli. Training clients to recognize and regulate their breathing patterns can serve as both a source of artifact control and a therapeutic intervention in its own right. For instance, instructing a client to reduce sighing frequency may decrease SCR variability, improving signal clarity and emotional regulation. Clinicians should also be mindful that emotionally charged topics or exposure exercises may provoke irregular breathing patterns, which can influence EDA. By accounting for respiration, practitioners gain a more nuanced understanding of the interaction between autonomic physiology, emotional state, and cognitive effort, thereby improving the precision and clinical utility of electrodermal monitoring. Consistency. Consistency in measurement protocol is essential for obtaining valid and interpretable electrodermal activity data across sessions and clients. Electrodermal signals are highly sensitive to small changes in experimental conditions, electrode application, and physiological state. Therefore, strict standardization is required to ensure that observed differences in skin conductance levels or responses reflect true physiological changes rather than procedural variability. Key aspects of consistency include electrode type, placement site, conductive gel application, skin preparation, environmental conditions, and the specific psychophysiological task used during recording. For example, if a session begins with hand washing to standardize skin hydration, that procedure must be replicated in every subsequent session for that client. Likewise, the same electrode size, material, and attachment method must be used, with identical placement on the same fingers or palmar locations. Room temperature, lighting, and noise levels should be maintained within a narrow range, as fluctuations in any of these parameters can alter autonomic tone and affect baseline SCL. Clients should assume the same posture and remain seated or reclined in the same position during each session, with minimal variation in hand placement or body orientation. If biofeedback is delivered during resting baselines, this must be documented, as real-time feedback can itself influence conductance levels and complicate interpretation. Even the time of day and day of the week can affect sympathetic activity, and these factors should be controlled or recorded when feasible. Inconsistent procedures compromise the reliability of within-subject comparisons, impair the clinician's ability to track treatment progress, and may yield misleading conclusions about autonomic dysregulation. Adhering to a detailed, repeatable protocol ensures that EDA measurements serve as a stable and valid index of physiological state, enhancing their value in both assessment and intervention contexts. Skin conductance patterns. Skin conductance patterns provide rich insights into the individual's sympathetic nervous system functioning and can be categorized to reflect distinct styles of autonomic reactivity. Three primary response types have been proposed: variable reactors, overreactors, and underreactors. Variable reactors display phasic SCRs in response to discrete stimuli and typically return to baseline quickly. This pattern suggests healthy sympathetic flexibility and emotional reactivity, with sufficient parasympathetic counterbalance to restore homeostasis. Overreactors exhibit frequent, high-amplitude SCRs even in response to mild stimuli and often show delayed recovery, reflecting heightened sympathetic arousal or emotional hypersensitivity. These individuals may be experiencing anxiety, hypervigilance, or trauma-related activation and are often slow to return to baseline. Underreactors, by contrast, display infrequent or absent SCRs even in the presence of strong stimuli. Their SCL remains low and flat, suggesting reduced emotional responsivity or potential dissociation. In extreme cases, underreactivity may reflect a history of trauma, particularly when combined with psychological disengagement or flattened affect. A flat pattern that persists across sessions, despite known stressors, should prompt a clinical inquiry into dissociative states or burnout. Another key pattern is the paradoxical response, where an individual shows increased SEL with no discernible external stimulus, likely indicating internal cognitive, emotional, or interoceptive triggers such as disturbing thoughts, intrusive imagery, or anxiety. Additionally, habituation and sensitization can be observed in conductance patterns over time. Habituation is reflected in a reduction of SCR amplitude and frequency in response to repeated, non-threatening stimuli, while sensitization is characterized by an increase in these parameters, often under conditions of stress or threat anticipation. Clinicians may use these patterns to guide intervention strategy, monitor treatment efficacy, or tailor relaxation and exposure protocols. Ultimately, careful observation and interpretation of conductance patterns provide a psychophysiological map of autonomic regulation, enhancing therapeutic precision. Drug effects. Pharmacological agents can exert pronounced effects on electrodermal activity, altering both tonic and phasic measures in ways that must be taken into consideration during clinical interpretation. Stimulants such as amphetamines, methylphenidate, and caffeine typically elevate sympathetic nervous system activity, resulting in an increased baseline SEL and more frequent, higher amplitude SCRs. These changes reflect both increased eccrine sweat gland output and heightened central arousal. In contrast, sedatives such as benzodiazepines and barbiturates reduce SEL and may blunt SCR frequency and amplitude by decreasing central nervous system excitability and dampening autonomic reactivity. Antidepressants, including selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors and tricyclics, produce variable effects depending on dosage, receptor specificity, and chronicity of administration. Some individuals may exhibit increased SCL with SSRIs due to serotonergic enhancement of sympathetic outflow, while others may show reduced SCRs due to the anxiolytic effects of SSRIs. Antipsychotic medications, particularly those with strong dopamine D2 receptor blockade, are often associated with flat electrodermal profiles, including diminished SCRs and blunted responses to emotional stimuli. Sedation, extrapyramidal side effects, or motivational deficits may compound this hyperreactivity. Beta blockers, which inhibit peripheral adrenergic receptors, consistently reduce electrodermal responses by limiting sweat gland activation, making them a potential confound in arousal-based EDA interpretation. Clinicians must also consider over-the-counter medications and recreational substances, such as antihistamines or cannabis, which can similarly modulate autonomic function. To interpret EDA data accurately, practitioners should obtain a comprehensive medication history and document any changes in dosage, timing, or adherence to medication. Ideally, sessions should be scheduled at consistent intervals relative to medication intake to minimize intra-individual variability. Failure to consider drug effects may result in false assumptions about a client's emotional reactivity, stress resilience, or treatment progress. Assessing electrodermograph accuracy. Assessing the accuracy of an electrodermograph is essential to ensure that the instrument reliably reflects physiological changes rather than technical inconsistencies or hardware faults. Modern biofeedback devices typically claim accuracy within plus or minus 0.2 microsiemens for conductance and plus or minus 5% for overall system performance. Still, these specifications must be periodically verified through both built-in calibration routines and external validation procedures. One of the most effective methods for this purpose is the use of a dummy subject, which is a standardized circuit board with fixed resistance that mimics the electrical properties of human skin. By connecting the device's electrodes to the dummy subject's posts, clinicians can compare displayed values to known reference resistances, thereby testing the integrity of the amplifier, analog-to-digital conversion, and display software. Any deviation from expected readings indicates potential faults in signal transduction or calibration drift and warrants further inspection. Tracking tests represent another valuable tool, assessing whether the recorded signal reliably reflects known physiological events. These include instructing the client to perform a deep inhalation and exhale forcefully or initiating a sudden stimulus, such as a hand clap behind the client's head. Each should provoke a reliable SCR within 1 to 3 seconds, followed by a gradual return to baseline. A delayed, absent, or exaggerated response can signal hardware malfunction, poor sensor contact, or client-specific physiological anomalies. Clinicians must routinely inspect raw waveforms for non-physiological characteristics such as stair-step changes, clipping, or flattening, which may result from grounding issues, sensor disconnection, or software misconfiguration. In systems with multiple input channels, verifying that the correct channel is selected and functioning is crucial to prevent displaying data from the incorrect sensor. An overlooked misrouting can result in the presentation of heart rate or EMG signals mislabeled as EDA. Regular accuracy checks reinforce data credibility, support diagnostic precision, and bolster clinical confidence in training outcomes. Neglecting these validation practices introduces avoidable uncertainty into therapeutic and research conclusions. Standards. Electrodermal recording systems must meet rigorous standards for performance, calibration, and data fidelity to be suitable for clinical or research use. These standards define acceptable tolerances for measurement error, signal linearity, response time, and noise rejection. A state-of-the-art electrodermograph should be able to resolve changes in skin conductance as small as 0.01 microsiemens and maintain signal integrity across a range of approximately 0.1 to 50 microsiemens per square centimeter. Signal resolution must be matched by low system noise and adequate sampling rates, typically 32 to 100 samples per second, to capture phasic SCR events accurately. Furthermore, filtering options should be adjustable to accommodate different use cases, such as lower cutoff filters to remove drift in tonic recordings or higher frequency rejection to eliminate 50 or 60 Hz electrical interference. Devices should be shielded against electromagnetic noise, particularly in environments where computers, monitors, or medical devices are in operation nearby. In addition to technical performance, equipment must comply with safety standards, including current limiting circuitry to prevent electrical harm to clients. This is particularly critical for exosomatic methods that apply small voltages or currents through the skin. Documentation accompanying the device should include test results from manufacturer calibration procedures and specify recommendations for periodic verification. Certification bodies, such as the Association for Applied Psychophysiology and Biofeedback, APB, or the Biofeedback Certification International Alliance, BCIA, may reference these standards when determining the eligibility of equipment for use in certification programs. In practice, clinicians must interpret these standards through rigorous adherence to usage protocols, including sensor inspection, software updates, and training on proper signal interpretation. Following these guidelines ensures that electrodermal measures are not only accurate, but also clinically meaningful and ethically defensible. Equipment that fails to meet recognized standards risks producing misleading data and undermining the credibility of biofeedback interventions. Dummy subject. A dummy subject is a crucial calibration tool used to evaluate the operational integrity of an electrodermal recording system. It simulates the electrical properties of human skin using fixed resistive components that produce known conductance values when connected to the device's sensors. The primary purpose of a dummy subject is to verify that the electrodermograph correctly converts physical electrical signals into digital values within its specified accuracy range. A typical dummy subject circuit consists of precision resistors mounted to a small board with electrode posts that mimic the placement of human fingers or palms. Clinicians begin the calibration check by snapping the recording electrodes onto these posts and observing the conductance or resistance values displayed by the software. For example, a dummy subject with a 20 kΩ resistor should produce a reading of 50 microsiemens on a properly functioning device. Discrepancies between expected and displayed values may indicate amplifier degradation, digitizer error, sensor malfunction, or software misconfiguration. Dummy subjects are also useful for training purposes, allowing students to practice setup procedures and artifact recognition without involving a live participant. In educational settings, they provide a repeatable standard against which to test signal interpretation and response detection. High-quality dummy subjects encompass multiple resistance levels, allowing tests to be conducted across the device's full operating range. It is critical to store the dummy subject in a clean, dry environment to preserve its accuracy and prevent corrosion of contact points. Periodic use of a dummy subject promotes a culture of technical vigilance, ensuring that physiological inferences are based on reliable data. Without such validation tools, clinicians and researchers risk attributing measurement anomalies to client physiology rather than hardware inconsistencies, undermining the scientific and therapeutic value of electrodermal assessments. Tracking tests. Tracking tests offer a dynamic method for evaluating the functional responsiveness of the electrodermal system in real time. Their primary purpose is to confirm that the electrodermograph captures physiologically meaningful changes and that the signal chain, from the electrode through the amplifier to the software, is intact and properly configured. A typical tracking test involves instructing the client to perform a known, repeatable action that reliably elicits a skin conductance response. Common examples include a sudden auditory stimulus, such as clapping behind the client, a deep and audible sigh, or directed imagery of a stressful memory. In each case, a well-functioning system should register an SCR within 1 to 3 seconds of the stimulus, followed by a gradual return to baseline within 60 to 120 seconds. The shape, timing, and amplitude of this response are inspected to ensure they match expected physiological profiles. If the response is absent, delayed, or exaggerated, possible causes include poor electrode contact, incorrect channel selection, software misrouting, or equipment malfunction. The tracking test also reveals whether signal scaling and filtering parameters are properly set to detect transient responses without clipping or distortion. When multiple sensors are active, the test helps verify channel independence and rule out signal crosstalk or grounding issues. Ideally, tracking tests should be conducted at the start of each session to establish system readiness, and the resulting waveform should be saved or annotated for documentation. Repeating the test at the session's end can confirm signal stability and help interpret changes in tonic or phasic measures. In clinical practice, tracking tests also serve as useful demonstrations for clients, helping them understand the relationship between their actions and physiological responses. This fosters client engagement, enhances motivation, and builds confidence in the biofeedback process. Normal values. Understanding normal values for electrodermal measures is crucial for interpreting client data and differentiating between physiological variation and potential dysfunction. Typical skin conductance level, SCL, values in a healthy, resting adult range from 1 to 30 microsiemens per square centimeter, though this span varies based on factors such as skin site, hydration, emotional state, and individual reactivity. Finger strap recordings often yield values between 0.5 and 20 microsiemens, while palmar placements, due to their higher density of eccrine sweat glands, may produce SCLs between 5 and 30 microsiemens. During stressor tasks or emotional provocation, SCL may increase by 2 to 10 microsiemens, depending on intensity and client sensitivity. Skin conductance responses, SCRs, typically show amplitudes ranging from 0.01 to 5 microsiemens, with latency between 1 and 3 seconds post-stimulus and full recovery within 90 to 120 seconds. Rates of nonspecific SCRs during quiet rest typically range from 1 to 3 per minute. Deviations from these ranges may reflect trait-level autonomic characteristics or contextual influences such as pharmacology, fatigue, or environmental variables. SCLs persistently below 1 microsiemens may indicate poor electrode contact, dry or calloused skin, or autonomic hyporeactivity. Conversely, values exceeding 40 microsiemens without plausible arousal sources may suggest recording artifacts or equipment miscalibration. Clinicians should prioritize within-subject comparisons over time, using proportional changes and recovery times as more reliable indicators of autonomic engagement than absolute levels alone. Annotating session events and integrating client self-reports further contextualizes these data. By anchoring interpretation to normative benchmarks while accounting for individual variability, practitioners can draw accurate, actionable conclusions from electrodermal recordings and tailor interventions to client-specific patterns of autonomic function. Practical takeaways for electrodermal monitoring. Effective electrodermal monitoring depends on the integration of physiological understanding, technical skill, and procedural consistency. First, electrode quality and placement are foundational. Clinicians must use non-polarizing electrodes, placed at standardized sites such as the intermediate phalanges of the index and ring fingers, with consistent pressure and the use of conductive gel. Second, inspecting the raw signal is critical. Relying solely on software-generated metrics without examining waveform morphology risks misinterpreting artifacts as physiological events. Third, practitioners must routinely perform tracking tests to verify that the recording system is responsive to known stimuli, such as a sudden sigh or auditory startle. Fourth, session conditions, room temperature, time of day, skin preparation, and client posture must be tightly controlled to ensure reliable within-subject comparisons. Fifth, clinicians should be vigilant for artifacts such as drift, movement, loose electrodes, and sensor interference, which can all mimic or obscure authentic sympathetic activity. Lastly, understanding typical SCL and SCR values, while emphasizing individualized baselines and recovery patterns, is essential for interpreting data meaningfully. Biofeedback training should aim not just to lower absolute levels, but to teach clients how to recognize and modulate patterns of arousal in context. When applied rigorously, these principles yield high-quality electrodermal data that support accurate assessments, guide effective interventions, and empower clients to improve their emotional self-regulation through informed feedback. Conclusion. This lecture has presented a comprehensive framework for understanding, implementing, and interpreting electrodermal monitoring in clinical and research settings. We began by establishing the physiological basis of electrodermal activity and the function of exosomatic measures, followed by detailed discussions of electrodes, sensor placement, signal recording, and the critical distinctions between tonic and phasic responses. We explored the technical requirements of hardware systems, including electrodermographs and their signal processing pathways, as well as common sources of artifacts such as movement, electrode instability, and sensor interference. Practical concerns, ranging from individual variability and drug effects to the influence of respiration and environmental conditions, were addressed to emphasize the need for rigorous procedures. We reviewed methods for validating equipment performance through dummy subjects, tracking tests, and adherence to accepted standards, culminating in a summary of normative values to guide clinical interpretation. Electrodermal activity serves as a sensitive, non-invasive index of sympathetic nervous system function, providing immediate feedback on emotional and attentional states. However, its diagnostic and therapeutic utility is realized only when methodological precision and contextual interpretation are combined. By adhering to the principles outlined in this lecture, practitioners can transform electrodermal measurements from raw electrical signals into meaningful insights that enhance treatment efficacy, client awareness, and psychophysiological research.